We are here today in the beautiful home in Montecito of Jonathan Winters, who, as most of us know, is known as the king of improvisation, certainly known for a lot of his famous characters, Maud Frickert, some other ones which we'll get to. It's a mad world. He had his own TV shows, did tons of specials, Steve Allen and Dean Martin and Andy Williams and all those people. But I am especially excited to be here today to talk to Jonathan about his life, comedy, what makes him laugh, what makes him tick, and what he thinks about the world these days. So thank you, Jonathan, so much for letting us into your home.
I'm reading off a card, and it's a delight to have you. I just always wanted to say that. It is a delight without the card. We couldn't afford to have a guy carry a card anyway.
And we will get to that later about the difference between scripts and cue cards and things like that.
Oh, yes. So
that's that I'm very interested
in. I hope
so. How different people work and how you work, especially. But I usually like to start at the beginning because I'm kind of crazy that way. And you've talked openly about your life and your upbringing. You're from Ohio. Mm-hmm. I was born in Dayton, Ohio also, another kindred spirit. And partly why I like to talk to people about their families and their childhood is because I love to see if there's a connection between what you experienced as a child and then how it influenced your comedic mind. So if you want to talk to us a little bit about your family and you know.
Well, I was born in Dayton. It seems like 1,000, getting close to 100 years. I'm now 83, looking forward, I guess, to 84. I was born November 11th, which was then Armistice Day, then changed to Veterans Day. I stay with Armistice Day because I'm stubborn that way, and I like that better than just veteran. Nothing against veteran. I am a veteran. But I like Armistice Day. It sounds a little more important to me. But then I'm a little bent out of shape, and I'll have to shape up, I guess, I was told by the clergy toward the end. November 11th, 1925, in Dayton, Ohio. And I started out with a number of spoons. I guess it was copper, silver, and then gold, or maybe it was gold, silver, and then turned to copper. Too bad there weren't some more knives and forks. People always use the cliche, the type of spoon that you got. At any rate, the family at the time, in those early years, which from 1 to 7, were very wealthy. My grandfather was a banker. My great-grandfather founded the bank in 1840, the Winters National Bank. My grandfather, Valentine Winters, and if you made fun of him and he was carrying a cane, he would hurt you. He was anything but a Valentine Day guy. But that was his name, Valentine, VW. Everybody called him V, except I couldn't pronounce V. I called him B. I guess I was off to a bad start with my pronunciation, but he bought it. As a matter of fact, he gave me a photograph, which I still have here in the house. I have it near my bed, and I love the guy. He was a guy that, he was my, within my family certainly, my role model. I guess for many reasons, he replaced my father in more ways than I would want to mention. In his photograph, which I think is worth talking about, for any grandfather, he's wearing a Homburg hat. And I said, why the hat? He said, my hair was white and quite thin. So this way they'll never know. What about the cashmere scarf? Because I look like a damn turkey. Why the overcoat? It was damn cold in the studio. And why did you say bozo? I'm not bozo. No, you're not. But you see, I didn't always want to be a banker. As a matter of fact, I never wanted to be a banker. I wanted to be in show business. And my favorite team at that time of vaudeville was Bozo Snyder and Sliding Billy Watson. Consider yourself lucky to be Bozo. He was a very, very funny man. I see. Alias Valentine Winters, 1941. That was my grandfather. My father, tried to appear at the bank. I think he was appearing probably around the water cooler. And not unlike an Italian in Italy or one of the Italians pinching one of the tellers. And then, of course, the water cooler was filled full of bourbon rather than plain water. At any rate, my mother, her family, a wealthy family from Oliver Plow. They were agricultural, well, the plows plow up the ground, I guess. And so the banking family merged with the plow people, Oliver, and we went to live, as I say, I was born in Dayton, lived out just over from NCR, which I understand now it belongs to Germany or Uruguay or somebody. But all day long as a kid, as a little child, little boy, I could hear the cash registers going. I'd hope someday to have one, which my wife gave me one time years later, a candy cash register, a candy type candy register, that is now very valuable. I think she got it she was always a wheeler dealer, my wife, and she would always say, the standard, can you do any better? And they always did better for her. I guess she charmed him as she charmed me. But at any rate, we grew up on a little area street called Plumwood Road. The house is still there. Door is painted a bright red. I went back there years later. It's hard to go back in many ways. Then we moved out. My dad was drinking rather heavily, and the bank had by this time gone under, because I was born in 25. So by 32, things were, a lot of the houses my grandfather, the house itself, was, they maintained it, but they covered it with all kinds of cloth and chairs and stuff, anyway, which a lot of people went through. We lived out on Alexandersville, Bellbrook Road, in a wonderful house. I went back to 1865. It's still there. There's another family, a couple of families lived there. And I lived there. I lived there for the first 7 years of my life. I remember my mother kind of fed up with my dad, as mothers do get, or wives, and didn't have the patience or the problem with religion of staying on just for the child. She gave up and divorced my dad, and we went to live with my grandmother, Rogers, in Springfield, Ohio, which is 25 miles from Dayton.
And that was your mom's mom?
Mm-hmm.